10 years ago, this past summer, I was visiting the state of Israel. I was the group leader of 50 high school students from across North America, where we had visited Poland for 1 week and were spending 1 month in Israel. One Shabbat that summer, I had the opportunity to meet my family in a place called Peduel, a small town in the Shomron and the Sumerian hills. And it was that Friday afternoon that my cousin Shai, then 7 years old at the time, took me in the driveway for a friendly game of basketball. During that basketball game, with casual conversation, he said, "Erez, what army unit did you serve in?" Before I could get the words out of my mouth that I did not serve in the IDF, he responded to me, 7 years old. He said, "Erez, one day I'm going to be in the Israeli Air Force." Thought it was pretty cute for a 7 year old to say that, but I knew he was for real. See, over these last 10 years or so, I've kept in contact with Shai via email and Facebook, and we've been able to see each other on frequent trips to Israel. And so this past week, upon hearing the news of the murders of Gilad Shar, Eyal Yifrach, and Naftali Frankel, I needed to reach out to Shai once more. I didn't want to read any newspaper article or online blog, because I felt the urge inside me to hear from the peers of these young boys. And so when Shai responded to my email, I was a bit shocked and surprised that he said he had known Gilad Shar through their involvement in the Bnei Akiva youth movement. At that moment when he told me that, Shai, my 7-year-old little cousin, represented all Israel is, was, and will be after the events of this week. Today, Shai is a yeshiva student. And just like those three boys, every Thursday night, he tries to find a ride home to spend Shabbat at his table with his parents, his brother, and 2 sisters. If you've been following the writings of bloggers and journalists this past week, it started with anger and frustration. It then turned to grief. And these past few days, it turns to questions. What do we do? What do we do? This past Tuesday evening, some of you were there as well, approximately 1,500 people gathered at Congregation Beth Jacob in the Pico area for a memorial service. There I did not only see, but I felt. I felt achdut, which is unity, but even more so, I think we felt community. If you looked around the room that evening, there was young and there was old. There was religious and secular and everything in between. There were pastors from Christians United for Israel. And that night, Gilad Shar's aunt Lihi came up onto the bima and spoke. Gilad's aunt told us that her brother named his son Gilad because in Hebrew it means to be happy forever. She said this past week, forever stopped. And so again, we ask that same question. Where do we begin? But more importantly, where do we begin again to make meaning in our Jewish communities around the world? Our rabbis have a very short teaching that says, Kol hatchalot kashot. All beginnings are difficult. If you think about it in your own life, if you started a new job, if you're given a new assignment, menial tasks like doing the dishes and the laundry. We know it is always, in some way or form, difficult to begin. But we also know that deep down in our hearts that we need to begin, and that to begin again is always worth the time invested. When our rabbi said, Kol hatchalot kashot, they actually were not speaking about doing the dishes. They were speaking about finding a place of Torah. We Jewish people have a lot of nicknames, but one of them is an Am Segula, a treasured people. We know that our lives are going to be turned upside down in one way or another, but most importantly, we know the value of our life is worth living. And therefore, on this Shabbat, we can rightfully say, Kol hatchalot kashot. To rebuild again is definitely difficult. But we also know that being an Am Segula, we have the courage, the strength, and fortitude to do that beginning together. I think our great teacher Maimonides puts it best in his 13 principles. Ani ma'amin be'emunah shleimah b'viat ha-mashiach. I believe with complete faith in the coming of the Mashiach. But that's not the end of the teaching. V'ach al pi sheit mameya, even though he may tarry, even though im kol zeach akelo, despite the fact that the Mashiach will not be here today, we wait, and we continue and continue to wait. And so today, just like Maimonides and his 13 principles, we approach a fork in the road. From our parsha the Shabbat morning of Balak, we read of what we finally understood of Bilam, known as the false prophet, that he was first approached to curse the Jewish people. And when you realize his response, you think he's not such a bad guy. In fact, it looks almost righteous. Bilam tells them, he says, even if Balak give me a house full of silver and gold, I cannot do anything small or great, that would transgress the word of God. He said, of course I'd love to curse those people, but only if God gave me his divine approval. But our rabbis do not see righteousness in this response at all. Instead, they see only greed. Greed because nobody offered to pay Bilam for his blessing or curse. But rather, it's Bilam himself that says, I will only act because of my desire and temptation to obtain a house full of silver and gold. Now, if you contrast this with the story that's not found in our Parsha, but in our rabbinic tradition, of Rav Yossi ben Kisma, who was walking down the street one day, and he ran into a gentleman who asked him, Rabbi, he said, where are you from? The rabbi responded to him that he came from a city of great sages and scholars. The man then asked the rabbi, come on, Rabbi, come with us. We will give you 1,000,000 dinars of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls. The rabbi didn't even think for a moment. And he answered, if you give me all the silver, gold, and precious stones in the world, I would never leave the place where I live, because it's a place of Torah. If you think about the different reactions between Rav Yossi ben Kisma and Bilam, it's very simple, but it's profound. Bilam only acted on his desire and temptation. Rav Yossi ben Kisma, no temptation could remove him from a community of Torah. This week, we as a Jewish people are full of temptation and raw emotion. Revenge, anger, frustration, and even fear. But we as a Jewish people, at that fork in the road, have an ability to make a choice. We can be just like Bilam and act with that desire and temptation, or we can be Rav Yossi ben Kisma, who searches out a place of tefillah, of prayer, to fulfill ma'asim tovim, acts of loving kindness. I think we all understand that this week, the events in Israel cannot be understood. And so what do we do? We do exactly this. We come to a place of Torah. We celebrate Benot Mitzvah. We find people of like values who, just like Rav Yossi, is able to get past that moment of the afalpi, of the even those. We identify the fact that it probably is difficult to walk through those doors on this Shabbat morning knowing that our faith has been diminished, but we also recognize the need to begin again, and we recognize the need to be here together. A place to pray, a place to cry, and a place to act. When I wrote that email to my cousin Shai this week, who now is 17 and preparing for his army service, I asked him a question. I said, Shai, as a peer of Gilad in Ayala Naftali, do you have any words of advice to give a congregation thousands of miles away who want to be there with you? He wrote back a short message that I'd like to share with you this morning. These are Shai's words. I would tell them that although it is hard and frightening, we have to stay strong. We cannot afford to give up, because if we will, they died for nothing. He continues, we believe that everything happens for a reason, and that we are here because we deserve to be here. And in their memory, and for the memory of all the people who sacrificed their lives, we should go on proud. The words of then 7-year-old, now 17-year-old, Shai Bornstein. This morning we are here for Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. Each Friday night and Shabbat, we sit down at our tables with our families and friends, and we add a special bracha, a special blessing, to Birkat HaMazon, to the grace after meals. We add these words, Ve'areinu Adonai Eloheinu, v'nechamat Zion Yirecha. Show us, Adonai, our God, the consolation of Zion, your city, and building of Jerusalem, the city of your holiness, for you are the master of salvation, and you are the master of consolation. This Shabbat, as we as a people attempt to begin again, and as we attempt to rebuild our Jewish world once more, we are going to sing these words. For to begin again means to have faith that yes, while we are in that moment of doubt, we still believe. Believe in the power of consolation. Believe in the power of salvation. Believe in the power that each and every one of us can have a part in rebuilding Jerusalem once more. And so this Shabbat, Cantor Feldman will lead us in these words of consolation, composed by the great Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. May the memories of Gilad Shar, Eyal Yifrach, and Naftali Frankel be a blessing for all time. And let us say,